The third parak contrasts with the second parak, where we saw that when there is a lack of rain from the beginning of the rainy season, from Sukkot through Pesach, there are increasing fasts in severity. There are three sets on the tzibur, 3 days, 3 days and 7 days. And as we mentioned, they increase in severity as we become more and more concerned that the lack of rain will cause a famine and a dramatic, drastic food shortage as we go further into the rainy season without any rain. The contrast here is that in the third parak, we're going to discuss events that we're not going to go through that increasing fasting from less severe to more severe, but it's going to discuss when we clearly have events that are problematic right now, that we're not going to have the time to be increasing in the severity and start with three fasts, and then the second sets of fast, and then only get to the most severe, the seven. We're going to start with the seven immediately in our occurrences that we're going to see in this parak. So Mishnah Aleph starts out as follows: Seder Ta'anios Elu Hamor, the Ta'anios that we discussed in the prior parakim, when we have increasing in severity, 3, 3, 7, Berevia Rishona, that is in discussion when we had a lack of rain, starting from the first rains, from the beginning of the rainy season, Revia Rishona, from the initial rains, we had a lack of rain, and accordingly, we had fast in increasing severity. However, if we had rain, things were looking okay, but then something dramatic and drastic happened. Aval b'tzmachim shishana, we had plants growing, and they had a dramatic change. Something bizarre, abnormal happened, and we have a major concern now that we are going to have a famine. We're going to have a major food shortage because of some dramatic change in the plants that were growing. Accordingly, masrin aleihem miyad, we would literally blow the shofar immediately. What this means is that we're going to go straight to the most severe seven fast days, which were characterized by the blowing of the shofar, but also fasting, shofar, tshuva, all the bells and whistles that we discussed. We're going to go straight to that because of the imminent problems that we're going to have. Another example of when we're going to do this, shepasku kishamim ben geshem legeshem arba'im yom. We started out, okay, we had geshem, we had rain coming down, and then the rain ceased. And between one rain and the next rain, we don't have the next rain yet, it's gone a gap of 40 days so far, and we don't have more rain. Accordingly, masrin aleihem miyad, this isn't the case that we had no rain and we have increasing concerns. We had rain, and now we've gone dark for 40 days. We have real concerns right now. Accordingly, we go straight to the strictness of the seven fast days. Matrin aleihem miyad, we do the trua, blowing of the shofar, the fasting, etc. Mibnei shehi makas betzores. This is a serious famine. It means that there is an imminent food shortage that we are concerned about, and accordingly we go straight to the most strict of the seven fast days. Mishnah Beis is going to be another example of where we go straight to the severe, strict seven fasts. Yardu l'tzmachim, if we had rain, but it was very light rain, so it was only beneficial for the crops that grow at the top of the soil surface, so that this is rain that was light, it didn't go deep into the surface, avalo yardu la'ilan, but it was not strong rain that would be beneficial and needed for the trees. You need a stronger rain that will penetrate the soil deeper. So now it's approximately Pesach time, and the trees need that rain because they're going to start blossoming now. That's the time they blossom, and we did not have rain that was necessary for the trees. La'ilan, if we had rain that was good for the trees, in other words, it was somewhat strong rain, v'lo letzmachim, but it wasn't beneficial for the crops at the top of the surface of the soil. Lazev v'lazev, we had rain for both the crops, and also we had rain for the trees, avalo laboras lashichin v'lamaaras, but we did not have enough rain to fill the reservoirs where we store water. It was not boros, as bits, shichin, ditches, ma'aros, various caves, vaults, where drinking water is stored. So we had for the crops, but now we need water to drink. Accordingly, this is a severe problem. Masrin aleihem miyad, we go straight to the seven strict fasts. We blow the tekiyas, we have the fast days. This is not where we go through the less severe fast to the most severe, but we go straight to the most severe fasting days. Mishnah Gimel, v'chein ir shelo yardu alea geshamim. If we have not a situation that we were talking till now, that the whole country, the whole large area didn't have rain, but we have a specific city that did not have rain. Dichsiv, and an example of this is brought in Amos, Vihimtarti al ir achad, I will bring rain upon one city, val ir achas lo amtir, and another city you will not have rain. Chelka achas timater, one area will have rain, one will not have rain. So we have a specific area that is plagued by not having rain, but the other areas are okay. Osair misane umasras, it's that city that has to go straight to the seven strict fast days. In other words, they have a tanis misane umasras, that is trua, they blow the shofar, they go straight to the most severe restrictions. V'chosvi v'sen, anything around that area that did have rain, nonetheless, they have to participate, either to assist that town, or because they may be impacted by it, because their food is going to be purchased by people in that town. So misanos v'lomas rios, the first opinion is that they have a day like Yom Kippur, that they have a tinis, they have a fast day, they're not eating, but they don't blow the shofar, but they participate as if it's a Yom Kippur type of day for them. That's the ofi, that's the symbolism, that's the nature of the day that they're going to keep. Rabbi Akiva Omer Matriot V'lo Misanot. Rabbi Akiva rather has a different view. The environs around there that had rain, they should keep a day more like Rosh Hashanah, the nature of Rosh Hashanah, that they blow the shofar, but it's not a fast day. And that is the way that the people around them were to participate with the city that is having the specific problem of not having rain. Mishnah Dalet, continuing the same concept. V'chein ir sheyesh ba dever or mapolis. If there's a specific town, a specific city that has either a plague or a mapolis, walls collapse. What's talking about here is that there are walls that were strong and safe. It's not that they were on a river and they were weakened, and a number of walls fell, or buildings collapsed, or there was an earthquake. That's all included in mapolis. If that's a situation that it was specific to one city, Osa Ha'ir Misane Umasras, that one city, they will have a tainus, they will have a fast day, they will blow the shofar, they will go straight to the severity of the seven fast days. V'chosvi v'sen, anything in that area that didn't have that plague and didn't have that mapoles, they would still participate. And we see the same machlokas as we saw in the prior mission of V'chosvi v'sen, Misanot, they would fast for Lomatriot and they would not blow the shofar. Rabbi Akiva Omer Masrias Volomisanas. Rabbi Akiva flips it around, and he is of the view that it's like Rosh Hashanah, that they would blow the shofar, but they would not fast. Now we're going to define exactly Ezehu Dever. What does that mean, that was there was a plague in a given city that they would have to go straight to fasting and blowing the shofar? Ir Hamotzia Chamesh Maragli. We're talking about a city that has 500 healthy men. We're not including women and children. B'yatzu mimena shlosha meisim b'shlosha yamim zeachar zeh. And there were three people that died within three consecutive days. And in three consecutive days, harei zeh dever, that is a plague, that they immediately have to start fasting and blowing the shofar. Pachos mikan, however, if it was less than that. In other words, there was three healthy people that died over 4 days, or not 3 days. Or even if three people died, but in 2 days, not over 3 days, ein zeh dever, that's not a plague. The concept here is that we have to see a pattern of healthy men passing away. And if it doesn't look like a set pattern, that it's a real plague happening, we view it as just normal, although unusual, but it's not viewed as a plague. Just another important point here is that if you have a larger city, it would have to be proportionate. So three deaths in 3 days is for 500. But for example, if we had a town of 1,000 men, then it would have to be six deaths in that time period. So that would have to be adjusted for each city for the number of residents based on healthy men in that jurisdiction. Mishnah Hay continues the listing of the items that for which the fasting, the blowing of the shofar, in the most stringent sense, occurs immediately. But not only that, now it's not only in the specific area, the specific city or town in which that calamity is hitting, but anywhere else as well that they hear about it, because the concern here is that this is the type of problem that travels incredibly quickly. As we'll see at the end of our Mishnah, it's called a Makah Mehaleches. It's a calamity that travels to other areas very quickly. So Mishnah Hay says as follows, Al Elu Masrim B'chol Makam, on these calamities we literally blow the trua, we blow the shofar, but that's inclusive not only of blowing the shofar and also fasting and davening as well. So it's all three of the big ways that we want to observe the challenges of a given time, of the calamity, and also that's our way of doing tshuva in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us from what may fall upon us. So al elu masrim b'chol makom, these are the ones that we go straight to the most serious procedures of the tshuva, of the tefillah, and the fast. Al hashidafon, which are very strong winds that can ruin our crops. Val hayeirakon, when the crops turn a different color, that we see that they are at risk. Al ha'arbe, v'al ha'chasil, these are different types of locusts that destroy crops. V'al chaya ra'a, and dangerous animals that are seen in civilization during the daytime at times that it's highly unusual to see them. V'al ha'cherev, literally on the sword, this is talking about when we have foreign armies that are not even attacking, but simply passing through our area to get to somewhere else, that is a high-risk area that they may do something. On all of those that we have aforementioned just now, Masrim Aleha, we immediately fast, we blow the shofar, we daven, Mipnei Shimaka Mehalechas, because they are all calamities that travel very quickly. So any place that they hear about it, they would participate in the fullest sense of the calamity and observing it, because they could be affected very easily as well. Mishnah Vav illustrates what we just learned in Mishnah. Hey, Maaseh Sheyardu Zekenim Yerushalayim La'areim. There was a time that the Zekenim had been gathering in Yerushalayim, and they all went back to their respective cities. V'gazru Tanis Al Shenireh. They were gozer at Tanis throughout the land of Israel, because they were simply seen Kimelop Hitanor Shidafon Baashkelon, the amount of a Shidafon, in other words, enough grain to fill up, if you take that dough and that grain and make it into a dough, the volume of dough that would simply fill up, a very small size, fill up the opening of an oven, and it was caused from a Shidafon Baashkelon. There was a blight in Ashkelon, strong winds that came and caused a little bit wreckage to the crops in Ashkelon, just that amount of grain that would make the dough to fill up the opening in a tanur. And accordingly, based on that localized concern in Ashkelon, as we said, this is considered a maka mehaleches, a calamity that can easily spread throughout the land, and accordingly there was a gzeirah to have a fast and trua, the whole observance of the concerns that we've been talking about throughout the land of Israel. Va'od, another example illustrating this point, gazru, another gzeirah that was throughout Eretz Yisrael, da'od gazru tainis, a fast day, al sha'achlu ze'evim shnei tinokos be'evar yarden, that there were two wolves that ate two little children, me'evar yarden, on the other side of the Jordan, and nonetheless, there was a gzeirah throughout Eretz Yisrael to fast as well, not only on the other side, Evanar, but on Israel proper. Rabbi Yossi Omer lo al sha'achlu el ha-shanira. The situation there wasn't that the two wolves had actually eaten children. It was simply that they were seen, and that they were seen in the middle of the day in civilization in an unusual occurrence. That is, again, is a makam alechas. That's a calamity that can easily spread around. Then accordingly, they were gozer, a tainis, a fast day throughout Eretz Yisrael. Mishnah Zayin requires a little bit background that on Shabbos, we don't pray for personal needs, and we also don't even pray for the most part for communal needs. Shabbos is a day of rest. It's a day to focus on the menucha of Shabbos and the ruchnius of Shabbos, but not a day that we have, for example, the normal Shemoneh Esrei with the 13 bakashas requests in the middle, which are requests for Klal Yisrael. In fact, even there on Shabbos, we don't do that, not even personal requests, but for the tzibur. So we will see in our Mishnah the same thing applies, except when there are extreme needs, extreme emergencies, then it would be permitted to daven for those extreme unusual cases, even on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, "Al elu masrin b'Shabbos." On these, we would literally be matria. We would blow the shofar, but that is not pshat. Although typically in all these Mishnayos, when we say matrin, it means not only do we blow the shofar, but we also fast. We daven. Here it means specifically, even though it's Shabbos, certainly we're not blowing the shofar, but we would be permitted to pray for extreme emergencies. The Gemara, for example, brings in that we would say the prayer of Anenu on Shabbos. Even though we're not fasting, we're not blowing the shofar. These are calamities that are so urgent and immediate that we would be permitted to daven for them on Shabbos. So Al-Ir, Shikifua, going for a city that has been surrounded by hostile armies, literally by the non-Jews. So it's a hostile environment right there, and that is an emergency, immediate need that we can daven for on Shabbos, that the Jews in that city would be protected. Onahar, literally a river is threatening to overflow in their civilization, people living right by that river. For that also, we would be permitted to daven on Shabbos. That's an immediate need. Vashasfina hamita refes bayam, or if we have a ship that is at sea, there's a storm going on, it's threatening to capsize and sink, that again is an emergency that we could daven for on Shabbos as well. Rabbi Yossi has even a stricter standard. Rabbi Yossi Omer Le'ezra, we are permitted to call for people to come and assist when we have these needs, call for people to help out, to get rid of the non-Jews that are surrounding that city, or to help out, build, put sandbags when that river is going to overflow, to help out with that ship that is possibly going to sink. So we could call people to help. However, we would not even permitted to cry out in davening, because we don't really know if the prayers will be answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and accordingly Shabbos is not the time to be involved in prayer for our needs, even if it's for a community, unless even according to Rabbi Yossi Perid, on Shabbos we can't be calling out for prayer unless you're calling for people to come and assist. That would be a proper calling out. Continuing, there's actually a machloka when it comes to dever, which is a plague. Shimon HaTimni Omer Afala Dever. Shimon HaTimni, he says that we can cry out even on Shabbos for purposes of a plague. That would be an emergency, a calamity that would be permitted. V'lohodulo Chachamim, and Chazal said that is not going to be severe enough. It has to really fit into the criteria that we mentioned at the reisha of this Mishnah, at the beginning of the Mishnah, even more severe than a dever. But dever itself, a plague itself, would not be sufficient to break the rule that we don't make requests even in prayer from a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. Mishnah Ches is a very, very famous Mishnah, one of the most famous in Mishnayos, al kol tzara shelo tavu al tzibur, any tzara that indeed does come on the tzibur, be it a tzara, a sorrow, a calamity dealing with Gashmias, for example, we've been talking about dever, plagues, and lack of rain, and various earthquakes, and whatever it may be. And in addition of Ruchnias, for example, if Rachmana Leitzlan, a government, makes legislation that we're not permitted to keep the mitzvahs, on all of those tzoras and all those calamities, Masrim Aleihem, we blow the shofar, we daven, and we have fast days for them. Chutz, with the exception, Meirav Gshamim, when we have too much Geshem, that's too much of a bracha, and we have too much of a bracha, then we do not ask that that bracha removed unless that rain is causing really tremendous damage to the crops. But otherwise, if it's just an inconvenience, flooding in the houses, whatever it may be, along those lines, but it's not too much damage, it's not really negatively impacting society and the commerce, then we would not daven to stop too much rain. And now we're going to see the famous Maisa of Choni HaMe'agel. That's why I mentioned this, a very famous Mishnah. Choni HaMe'agel was very known to have the power to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring rain when there was drought. So this is the Maisa, and this we will see why he was named Choni HaMe'agel. Choni, the person who made a circle. And this is also going to illustrate what we started out with in the Mishnah, that for tsaris, calamity, tsaris that comes on Klal Yisrael, indeed we do daven, for the lack of rain we do daven, we fast, we blow the shofar. However, if it's too much, that is not a reason to daven to say stop the rain. So Maaseh Shamru Lo L'Choni HaMe'agel, there was a time that they said to Choni, Choni HaMe'agel, Hispalel Sheyerdu Geshamim, there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. Choni, you have the koach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to you, please daven so that we will have rain. Amar Lehem, Choni knew that his tefillas would be answered. He says to them, Tzu'u V'Hichnisu Tanurei Pesachim, go and bring in your Pesach ovens. They used to have special ovens to make their Korban Pesach. They couldn't put on self-clean ovens and use the same oven, so they had a separate oven that they used to use for that. He says, bring in those ovens, Mishvil Shelo Yimoku, so they should not become dissolved because the rain is going to be significant. Hispalel V'lo Yardu Kshamim, so he daven, and the rain did not come. How is that possible? So Yechoni says, Me'asa, what did he do? I'm going to bring the rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always listens to my tefillah. Choni was a ben bayis by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ag uga v'ane besocha. Choni amaga drew a circle and he stood in the middle of Amar Lefanav and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Banecha samu pneim alai. Klal Yisrael is looking to me. They have turned to me. Shani kem ben bayis lefanecha. I am like a member of your household, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nishbani b'shimcha gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I make an oath in your great name. Sheini zaz mikan. I'm not going to move from this circle. He's standing in the middle of the circle, and that's why he was named Choni HaMe'agel, Choni who made the circle. I'm not going to move from the circle at Shetarachem al Banach until you have Rachamim, until you have mercy on Klal Yisrael, bring on the rain. He's Chilu Geshami Menatfin. So the rain started to drip. It started to drizzle a little bit, but there was nothing significant coming. Amar Lo Kach Shalti, he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this isn't what I'm looking for. Ela Gishme Bora Shichin Amaros. I'm looking for something much more significant. I'm looking for rain that will be able to store it, will be able to pot it, so we have it in the pits, in the ditches, in the ma'aros, in the caves, so we'll be able to have it for the future. We need a lot of rain. Hischilu le'ered bezav. The rain started coming with anger, furious rain, significant rain. Amar lo kach shalti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not what I'm looking for either. Ela gishme ratzon brachu nedav. I'm looking for gishme bracha ratzon, goodwill. I need blessed rain. Desirous rain, Yardu Kitinam. So at that point, Yochani Amaga went back a number of times. We see that is when the rain started raining normally, beneficial rain for the crops. Ad Shiyatsu Yisroel Yerushalayim. There was so much rain that Klal Yisrael had to leave the Yerushalayim, the residential part of the Yerushalayim, and they had to go up Lahar Habayis Mipinei Agshami. They had to go up to Har Habayis, which was on a higher elevation, because they were being flooded out of their homes. Now they come, Baor Ramullah, they come to Choni and said, Choni, you did a wonderful job bringing us rain. Now stop the rain. It's too much. Kishem Shit Palalta Aleyem Sheyerdu, just like you daven that the rain should come. Kach Hispalel Sheyechulem. Now please daven that they should cease. We've had enough rain. Amar Lehem, so Choni Amagel says, as we've started this Mishnah, we don't daven to stop a bracha, even if it's too much bracha of rain, too much rain. Suru'uim Nimches Even HaToim, he says to them, go and see if the Even HaToim was a very high stone, and was the stone that was used when people used to find Avedos, when they used to find things that were lost by other Jews. They used to go stand on top of that very high stone and announce, I have found an Aveda, I found a lost item, and people would congregate there to hear others, maybe when they lost items, maybe someone will announce that they found my item. So Choni says to that, to them, go see if that rock has been covered with water. In other words, unless it's going to be covered with water, I can't pray for Wayne to stop it. And it's not very easy to cover a stone that high. An implication here is if the stone were covered, if it was that much rain, that would be really damaging rain. If it got to that level, it just wasn't a hindrance and an inconvenience for people, then you'd be able to daven to stop the rain. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach, Shimon ben Shatach sends to Ochomi and HaMe'agel the following meshes, Ilmale Choniat, if it weren't for the fact that you are Choni HaMe'agel, and you have these special kochos, Gozrani Alecha Nido, I would make a decree that you would be put in Cheirim. Haval Ma'as Elecha, but what can I do to you? Shatam Mischatel Ifnei HaMakom, you act as a little child in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, va'ochselecha retzoncha, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu does your will, despite the fact that you went back and you asked a number of times, and you say, I'm not going to leave this circle. How do you behave in that fashion towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu? But a Kodesh Baruch Hu does your will, kiven, just as if you are his son, shumischate al aviv, just like a son acts to his father, acts in a childish way, the osilo ritzon, and nonetheless the father does the desires of his child. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu does your desires, and you are a ben bayis, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you just like a young son. V'alecha kasuv omer, and based on this, he says, we actually see this represented in Apostle Mishle, Yismach avicha v'imecha, that your father and your mother should be happy with you, v'sagel yoladetecha, and the one who gave birth to you should rejoice. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite your constant requests, he is clearly happy with you, and he answers your tefillas. And Baruch Hashem, we have that bracha of having chonei me'agel, despite the fact that Shimon ben Shachtach wasn't necessarily happy with the methods that Choni used in getting the rain. Mishnah Tes discusses the situation where during one of the fast days over a lack of rain, it Baruch Hashem began to rain. And the Mishnah discusses if it started raining during a fast day, do they have to complete the fast day because they have begun it? Or can they simply call it off because it has now begun to rain? And fundamental to this Mishnah is the concept that once they have practically started fasting, not technically, halachically started fasting, but practically started fasting, and we'll explain what that means, in that situation, they would not be permitted to call off the fast. So the Mishnah says as follows, Hayumisanin viardulem kashamim kodem anetzachama. If they're fasting, either from the night before or from Alas Shachar, from dawn early in the day, let's just estimate 72 minutes before sunrise, and now it has begun to rain before sunrise, lo yashlimu, they do not have to complete the fast, la'achar anetzachama, but if the rain began after sunrise, then yashlimu, they have to finish fasting. What's the concept here? So according to the Tanna Kamma, because day laborers, they would have their meals at Netzachama, not earlier. So even though they couldn't eat from the night before or from Alas HaShachar, that doesn't matter. That's a halachic concept. But for them, practically speaking, when they skipped their first meal, which was at Netzachama, that is when the fast began for them. Practically speaking, accordingly, if it rains before that time, then they can call off the fast because they haven't practically missed the meal yet. But once Nates has come and they skipped their meal because of the fast day, that is considered that they have started fasting, and accordingly they need to finish fasting on that day. Rabbi Eliezer has a different cutoff. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kodem Chatzos lo yashlimu, if it started raining before Chatzos ayom midday, then they don't have to complete the fast. But if it started raining la'achar chatzos yashlimu, if it has started raining after chatzos, then they would have to finish fasting on that day. And the concept of Rabbi Eliezer is, although there may be workers that eat at Nates, but the majority of the world has their first meal by chatzos ayom, by midday. And accordingly, if we get to chatzos ayom and it hasn't started raining, then that's the situation that people in general, the majority of people, are now considered fasting because it's gone to chatzos and they have begun their fast on a practical basis, and accordingly it cannot be called off even if it started raining because that rain started after chatzos. And now we're going to have a maisa, an occurrence, a story that buffers a kind of a quasi-proof to Rabbi Eliezer's ruling. Maase shegazru tainis b'lud. There was an occurrence that Chazal instituted a fast in Lud because there was a famine, there was a drought, there was no rain coming. V'yardu lehem kashamin kodem chatzos, and the rain began before chatzos. Amar lehem Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon made an announcement. So, go ahead. We're calling off the fast because the rain started before chatzot. V'ichlu, go and eat. Ushesu, go and drink. V'asu yom tov, and make this a festive day. And that is what the people in Lud did. V'yatsu, v'achlu, v'shasu, v'asu yom tov. They went and they ate and they drank. Then they made it a yontif. And ubao bein arbain, after breaking their fasts and celebrating, they came in the afternoon. V'karu halel hagadol, they came and said, kapitol of Tehillim kuf lamed vav, that's hodu l'Hashem kito kilam chosto, the kapitol that we say in the psuki de Zimra on Shabbos. And the reason that that was chosen, we're not talking about the halal that we say on Chagim, is because that kapitol of Tehillim includes no sein lechem l'chol basar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives literally bread, gives food to all people, and that is why that kapitel of Tehillim is said in praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that situation for having brought the rain.